and gentlemen, it's now time for the Wrestling Is Cool podcast with your host, Santi and Sancho. And remember, wrestling is cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this extra bonus episode of the Wrestling is Cool podcast. Today is our predictions conversation for both Saturday night's main event and Evolution. We figured we would just do both in one video, especially because as we're making this, there's literally only three Saturday night's main events matches. So we're just going to combine all of them, brother. Sancho, Evolution has seven matches, which I think is kind of cool. It's just kind of weird that the show that has had 2 weeks of build is the one that's managed to get seven matches. I went back to all of the like WWE PLEs for the last like 2.5 years. This is the PLE with the most matches of a show not named SummerSlam or WrestleMania.
Nice. This should be the standard, Santi. You know that.
We've had this conversation before. It's just, it's interesting that the show that had 2 weeks of build is the one that managed to scrape together the biggest card that they've put together on a show in years that isn't,
and it has, you know, one of the big battle royale shows. And it has a battle royale too,
so like they're gonna feature pretty much every single woman that is in the main roster for sure, and a whole bunch of them on NXT. But let's go through things match by match. We'll do Evolution first. So we have,
it's a mystery.
Ooh, nice, I like that. We have Jade Cargill taking on Naomi in a no-holds-barred match. That went over a lot of people's heads that this was announced to be no-holds-barred. A lot of people didn't think that there was a stipulation, but it's confirmed. It's no-holds-barred. Sancho, I'll pass this one over to you. What are we thinking here? Jade Cargill, Naomi, no-holds-barred.
Jade Cargill comes out on top. You got to keep the singles push going strong. Jade Cargill continues her domination as a single star, queen of the ring. She dominated Asuka. I think you have to give Naomi the loss here so she could appear more desperate, more dangerous with that Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah, I think Jade Cargill is the only one of the two here that would legitimately be damaged by a loss, considering she's got her next match already set up for the WWE Women's Championship. If she were to lose to Naomi in the lead up to that, it's a bad look, and there's no saving grace. Like, let's say Jade Cargill loses, then she's going in as a loser against Tiffany Stratton. Let's say that she loses and then Naomi cashes in, and then it's Naomi versus Jade Cargill at SummerSlam. She's still coming in as a loser to the person that just recently beat her in Naomi. So I don't like that. I think Jade Cargill needs to win. Naomi can take a punch to the chin here. She's got the Money in the Bank briefcase. That's the best remedy, the best cure for any type of losing streak at any moment. You can just cash this thing in and it's as if these losing streaks never happened.
The golden pipe, brother. Oh no, you're losing in the star count. Bam! Double star out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Mario Dude. Party.
Yeah. Hey, Mario Kart, you know, you just pull out a Bullet William when you're in 24th place. All of a sudden, Bullet, boom.
Why are you calling by his former name? Is Bullet Bill.
I treat him more as a gentleman. I think he gets a lot of bad reputation for being chaos inducing. I think he's more of a William than he is a Bill.
You should race against me in Con Man. We had a great time.
I would dust you guys in Mario Kart. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Please.
Moving on, dude. We should do a Patreon race. Just on Patreon, a Grand Prix, or maybe we do Knockout Tour. Anyways.
Oh, I'm down.
Becky Lynch versus Bayley versus Lyra Valkyria for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. This I've mentioned in the full episode of the podcast, I think is the best storyline going on in WWE at the moment. I think that they can rinse this storyline a little bit longer. I feel like if Lyra or Bayley win, it doesn't leave a lot of room for something to do with Becky Lynch. So I think Becky Lynch is going to retain, and she's going to go into SummerSlam to face off against a new opponent. Neither of these two. And I think we'll get Bayley versus Lyra in a grudge match at SummerSlam. It's a two-night event, right? So we gotta find matches, and these three alone can fill multiple slots in SummerSlam because they've done such a great job at building all three of them based on the character that they're playing. I'm predicting that Becky Lynch is going to retain here and going to SummerSlam as Intercontinental Champion, and Bayley and Lyra will have their own match at SummerSlam.
It's a tale as old as time. When you have two faces against a heel, they're going to eventually turn on each other.
Yep.
And they're going to cost each other the match, and Becky's going to slink away with that title a la John Cena style and run away, you know, like run away with it like she stole it.
Mm-hmm. So we're in agreement there. We've got both Becky
that John Cena stole the title? Yes.
Yes. Yeah. What? Maybe Seth Rollins cashes in here on his whole wife.
Whoa, dude, what a turn.
Speaking of championships, we have Tiffany Stratton taking on Trish Stratus. Sancho, what say you about this match?
This reminds me of that time when Cody Rhodes cut that promo and gave a match to Kevin Owens just because they're best friends.
Yeah.
You deserve this, Kevin. Come on, Kevin. You deserve this. I don't deserve this. Yes, you do. We're going to have a match. If this could lead to something, another feud, and maybe Tiffy, you know, does something to Trish, because I love the heel Trish. The thank you, Trish thing with the mask.
So
like,
good.
All that stuff worked. It's so good. And granted, it all got blundered with Zoe Stark, so they didn't really go anywhere after that. But I'm hoping things could happen here with Trish again. And I'm hoping it's just not the like a one-off. Because it's the opposite of Bill Goldberg. We want to see more Trish Stratus because she's awesome. That one cage match she had with Becky Lynch, amazing. But it's going to be a Tiffy time, brother. If you get same thing with Jade, you can't have Tiffy and Jade going with L's going into that SummerSlam. So Tiffy has to win unless shenanigans is afoot. And it's always could be Naomi. It could be Naomi, dude. Yeah. Naomi and Jade at SummerSlam. Because why have this random no build match? Why put Tiffy in this situation? It's like, you know, in Hitman, putting the target in the perfect opportunity to strike.
Yeah. And
this could be it.
I mean, I would have thought that they didn't have to be married to the idea of Jade Cargill versus Tiffany Stratton, but they started that conversation already on the same segment that they introduced Trish Stratus. So I do still think that their plan is Jade Cargill, Tiffany Stratton at the end of the day. Trish Stratus is there for an exhibition match. Let's just call it what it is. This is just a cool one-off dream match. I think it's a one-off. I don't think that they're going to continue this. I actually personally feel, Sancho, that they missed the boat on this. It should have been this match at Elimination Chamber instead of that tag match to help build Tiffany Stratton even more. This doesn't really hit, in my opinion. I'm not emotionally invested in this. It's borderline impossible to get emotionally invested in this when there's literally a week and 2 days in between match announcement and the actual match itself. It's Tiffany Stratton. This is one of those matches that's going to suffer from having little to no drama, right? I'm going in with in the expectation of a 0% chance that Tiffany Stratton is going to lose this thing, and that's going to take me out of this match, sadly, I feel, even if the match is good.
Okay, that's what I'm going to say. Is it going to be a better match than Charlotte?
I mean, that bar is pretty low. I thought that match was really, really bad. I'm going to say yes. I think it's going to be a better match than the match against Charlotte. Moving on to the women's battle royale, where the winner gets a championship opportunity, Sancho, all the way at Clash in Paris. It's a month and a half after the show. Oui, merci. Il est vraiment phénoménal. I'm going to go with Stephanie Vaquer here. I think Stephanie Vaquer wins this. I'm actually going to predict the final two. I think it's Stephanie Vaquer and Julia. Julia is not featured at all on the show, but yeah. I know for sure. Come on. She's got to be featured at the very least in the Battle Royal, and I think that those two are going to be the final two, reminding the world, hey, these are our two biggest women's free agents that we've acquired. Allow us to showcase our wares. You've seen the legends come in. You've seen the people that we want to make time for to at least have an opportunity on the PLE, but now let's show you our wares, the two that we're really going to be pushing over the next couple of years. I think the final two is going to be Stephanie and Julia, but I think that Stephanie wins because Stephanie creates an intriguing matchup for either Io Sky or Rhea Ripley at Clash in Paris, both opponents that I would love to see Stephanie Vaquer go up against.
Didn't they kind of reveal that Jordynne Grace is in that fatal tag team, right? Is that like the accidental?
Jordynne Grace is in the show. She has a match against JC Jane. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. She has JC Jane. Okay. So if Jordynne Grace is off the table, and just to be a little bit different, I'm going to go with Blake Monroe.
Okay.
She's going to be in that match. Because I feel like if they were going to strap a rocket to her, this would be a great way to do it. Showcase her at Clash.
Okay. It's hard
to predict battle rails.
It is. Something I was going to say is this can be unpredictable. The only way I see this being super predictable and like, okay, this person's winning. If Bianca Belair makes her return at this, if Bianca Belair is able to make her return at this, she's winning because it sets up perfectly, right, for the follow up of whatever happens between Naomi and Jade Cargill at SummerSlam. Like, if Bianca's in this, I'm so confident she's winning. If she's not, I think it's up in the air between a handful of people. But I would go with Stephanie Vaquer. But I want to add the asterisk. If Bianca's in this, she's winning. Those are my thoughts.
Agreed.
Well, we already kind of alluded to it. JC Jane versus Jordynne Grace for the Women's NXT Championship. I know you're not too deep into NXT. You want me to lead this one?
No, I was going to say, like, I feel that with Jordynne Grace, she had so much momentum going into the WWE roster, and then she goes to NXT, and I feel like that momentum has waned a bit, brother. You know, there's rumors that she was going to be in the SmackDown roster. That didn't come to fruition, and I'm hoping Jordynne Grace wins here. I don't have a say in this because I'm not following NXT too closely here, but I thought that Jordynne Grace was going to be the it person for a while, considering that Stephanie Vaquer and Julia got moved up, and she was part of that trio.
Yeah, it's just, I feel like Jordynne Grace is just poor timing, man, because when she got there, the hot it item is Stephanie Vaquer and Julia. Stephanie Vaquer and Julia leave. Oh, this is going to now be the Jordynne Grace show. Psych, Mariah May now signs with the WWE, and now it's about Blake Monroe. Here's the thing, Sancho. I was convinced that JC Jane was going to win this because the storyline that they've been telling on NXT, there's more beef between JC Jane and Blake Monroe than there is between JC Jane and Jordynne Grace. So I thought the future match for that title was going to be JC Jane as the champion against Blake Monroe. Here's what's interesting, though, Sancho. July 20th, Masha Slamovic, Knockouts champion in TNA. For those that don't know, that's the women's champion over on TNA. Masha Slamovic has a match against whoever the NXT women's champion is at Slammiversary on July 20th. Winner take all. And to me, when I think that's TNA, I think Jordynne Grace. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think Jordynne Grace, and we know that Jordynne Grace and Masha Slamovic, they have a history of excellent matches with one another. So if I'm TNA, I think I might want Jordynne Grace here. You know, homecoming, known commodity. You know that match is going to be good. So I was so certain JC Jane was going to win this, but now that that's been added into the equation, I'm a little bit more up in the air. I'm still going to go with JC Jane. I'm still going to go with JC Jane here because of the Blake Monroe storyline that's being told. But that has completely gone from what a match that I thought was a foregone conclusion to now something that I'm kind of 50-50 on.
I think it's going to be Jordynne Grace because I think that would be the less offensive champion as a TNA Knockout and NXT Women's Champion.
I agree as well, but maybe they want offensive, right?
No,
that might sell. Yeah,
I don't want another Trick Williams situation here. No.
You think Trick is an offensive at TNA champ?
No, just a WWE superstar holding the TNA championship.
Gotcha, gotcha. All right, moving on to the women's. Oh, but you're sold on WWE winning. What if TNA were to win? What if Masha Slamovic? Listen, I think Masha Slamovic has a better chance of beating JC Jane than she does Jordynne Grace. I'll just say that.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, that's one like veteran versus a rookie.
Yeah, course. Man. But like one for
but
one.
The rookie
WWE
has
one of the titles. The other one has another one of your titles. I'm just saying.
I would have said Joe Henry would have been the better choice to have that other on the flip side than, you know what I mean? Than
okay.
Marcia.
Moving on to the women's tag team championship, we have the Judgment Days, Raquel Rodriguez versus Roxanne Perez versus Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss versus Sol Ruka and Zarya versus the returning Kabuki Warriors.
Zarya and Jordynne Grace.
Yeah. No, I hear you. It's going to be a great match, man, but it's like the perfect representation of everything that's wrong with the tag team division that it doesn't exist. We have Raquel Rodriguez, Roxanne Perez, not a tag team. They just got put together and Roxanne was given the title. Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss, not a tag team, just two superstars in the singles division that had nothing to do, put together. Zarya and Sol Ruka, they've got a good relationship on NXT, but they're two single stars at the end of the day. And the Kabuki Warriors, proper tag team that they had to put back together last minute so that they had an actual tag team in this tag team fatal four-way.
Oh, or Maxine in that.
Dude, how pissed would you be? In kayfabe, right? You're like, oh, man, we're the literally the only tag team here. It has to be us, right? If you're Maxine and Natalia. I think it's Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair here. I think that this is the most interesting tag team to win to create an interesting storyline. So I'm going to go with Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss. I really like what they're doing here. It's doing such a great job at humanizing Charlotte Flair, somebody that's been so easy for fans to just be so ruthless to. And what they're doing here with Alexa Bliss, humanizing Charlotte Flair, showing her vulnerabilities, has made her significantly more interesting. I'm going to go with Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss.
I think they want Charlotte on TV. They want Alexa on TV. It's plain and simple. They're going to put them on both brands. It works.
Sure. Sure. It's a tale as old as time with the women's tag team division. Man, yeah, just put them together and let them run with it.
Hey, dude, it's like a soup. Got yourself a stew.
Hey, I'm the women's tag team division. I'm out of here tag teaming. Yeah. And the main event, I'll let you run with this one, Sancho. Io Sky versus Rhea Ripley, Women's World Championship. What say you, sir?
This cracks me up. For those of you who don't know the lore of the Wrestling is Cool podcast, every now and then I step in a landmine. And one day I stepped in a landmine of accidentally predicting that Io Sky would beat Rhea Ripley on the Raw after, was it Chamber?
After Chamber.
Because I got it confused for Mania, right? And I was like, Santi, I don't want to be that crucified in the comments here. Can we just, you know, blaze right over it? And it was funny as I was right.
He was right. We're like, man, do we edit this out? Because he clearly meant to say WrestleMania, but he said Elimination Chamber.
Chamber, right.
And he was right.
I was blundered myself. I think this is going to be a vehicle for Rhea Ripley to retain here. They haven't had Io at all on TV. They haven't featured her at all. The only reason why they would not give Rhea Ripley this title is if they were going to put her on ice. I do see Io losing here because they've already built up this notion that Rhea's never been Io, right? That's been a thing. Why not a better time to do it? And it's, I think, historically, to have the last credits rolling with Rhea Ripley with Pyro is what the WWE wants.
1,000,000%. I think you and I are entirely on the same page here. This is what's closing, and WWE wants their biggest name closing with the Pyro, and it's going to be Rhea Ripley. And I'm going to be really sad about it because I love Io Sky, but WWE has not used Io Sky. So I guess we might as well have a champion that WWE actually wants to use, which is Rhea Ripley. She's featured every week, basically, right? With or without the championship, the women's division runs through Rhea Ripley. So to me, it's as clear as day that that's where they're going to go. And, you know, WWE has mentioned before that Rhea has never been able to beat Io, but they've never made it about that. They've never made it like that's the storyline. That's the mountain that Rhea is trying to overcome. They'll mention it in entrances or during the match, but they've had an entire video package of Rhea Ripley not being able to defeat Io Sky. So it's classic babyface stuff, right? Like, hey, here's the mountain. Here's the hurdle. They've overcome the hurdle. Huge celebration. Pyro, new champion. I see it clear as day, brother. It's going to be Rhea Ripley, and I know people are going to be mad and say, oh my God, Rhea never putting younger talent over, even though she's like 7 years younger than Io or whatever. So it's Rhea. It's Rhea. Shall we move over to Saturday night's main event, sir?
Bill Goldberg's main event?
Yes. Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre. I'll go with this one first because I know you'll want to go after the next one that we talk about. You're going to want to have the floor. Talked about this a little bit, not at that much length in the podcast, but I was saying that I feel like both of these guys kind of need a win. Drew McIntyre needs a win in that he just returned. And if we want to like take him seriously in the main event scene and not have him get sent down to the mid card to have a match against Damian Priest, Bing Bong Weppa, or against Jacob Fatu or Solo Sikoa, he needs to win here in some way, shape, or form. Likewise, I also think that Randy Orton needs to win, but for selfish reasons, because I want Randy Orton in that triple threat for the WWE Undisputed Championship. So, I don't know, man. I'm in a bit of a rock and a hard place. Maybe it's shenanigans. Maybe it's no contest. Maybe Randy Orton dives into the voices in his head. You mentioned the possibility of him punting Drew McIntyre. And that maybe leads to a disqualification, protecting both Drew and Randy from a result, but making Randy more vicious and sinister going into a potential triple threat match against Cody Rhodes and John Cena. So I'm going to say no contest here, my friend. I'm going to say Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre ends in a disqualification.
Considering it's Saturday night's main event and it's made for the uber casual fan, Randy Orton's going to have like a different, again, The first time I saw Saturday's main event, it was Randy Orton versus Sami Zayn, and Sami Zayn lost all of his plot armor all of a sudden, and Drew Mack just destroys Sami. I think that's going to happen here for Randy Orton, and Randy Orton is going to destroy Drew Mack.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's going to get screwed because Drew Mack loves it, and he's at his best when he's getting screwed over because he has something to complain about.
All right, moving on to the second of three matches, because, again, only three matches on this card. LA Knight versus Seth Rollins. Sancho, I know you want this one, so I'm going to pass this one over to you, hand it over to you on a silver platter. What are you thinking here?
Oh, brother, as the number one LA Knight fan, the man that mains the glaze factory, that LA Knight is the best product that I have here to offer. LA Knight, who's been thriving on Monday Night Raw. LA Knight, who's been the thorn in the side of the Seth Rollins feud. The only way that LA Knight can win this is, quote unquote, Triple H's favorite word, shenanigans. Shenanigans is going to have to help LA Knight. If you're an LA Knight fan, you take whatever you can get, whatever dub you can get by hook or crook. LA Knight has to win this. If LA Knight loses this, where does he go? This is another prominent case of LA Knight fandom. If you know LA Knight as much as I do, this man tends to cut promos and they don't go anywhere. He cuts a promo, I'm going to win Money in the Bank, doesn't win Money in the Bank. Cuts a promo, I'm going to win the Royal Rumble, doesn't win. Cuts a promo, he's going to win the Fatal Four-Way against Roman Reigns, doesn't win. Cuts a promo, he's going to beat Roman Reigns at Crown Jewel, doesn't win. This is where he has to, because he hasn't cut that infamous promo, Santi, where he's going to win. I know they did in the vignette that he's going to, you know, 5 days away, he's going to beat Seth Rollins. But I'm just hoping for a change. And this is a common case that I feel, that it's the Battle Royale-ism in me, that if you pick too many fights at the end game, all of a sudden you're going to get third party, fourth party, fifth party. And that's what happened in Seth Rollins. He's picked too many fights with too many players out there. The CM Punks of the world, the Roman Reigns of the world are going to come in and reign on Seth Rollins' party. And LA Knight's going to grab that good old victory royale.
I agree with you, dude. I think that the play here is to have LA Knight win. One of the things that I've mentioned in the pod is that Seth Rollins has various avenues to SummerSlam, right? Whether it's Roman Reigns, whether it's CM Punk, that's where that's going to go. We don't need Seth Rollins to get elevated to get those matches. Seth Rollins is already Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins can just have that match. But it's not really about elevating Seth Rollins to have a match with Punk. It's about creating an inciting incident. And I think it's going to be Punk that interferes in this match to help LA Knight pick up the victory. Because LA Knight, unlike Seth Rollins, does need some elevating. And I think it's that elevation that's going to lead to LA Knight versus Gunther at SummerSlam for the World Heavyweight Championship. So I'm also taking LA Knight here. I think that LA Knight is going to pick up the W.
Another swerve would be that CM Punk interferes and he costs LA Knight that match.
But where does that go? Where do you go from that? Like,
we already had that backstage segment, though. He's like, you want to build, I am the line. Remember, he told CM Punk that you want Seth Rollins, get in the back of the line. Well, Mr. I am the line. Mm-hmm. And he walked away. So, I mean, if that's a program for LA Knight, sure. But it's just a super filler, run-the-mill side quest for CM Punk. That could be a possibility. Or LA Knight could still win, but dislike that CM Punk helped him. You know, I could do it clean. You came in, meddled in my business. Now I'm here to, you know, defend. And that could be a fun little side quest. At the end of the day, though, you're right. LA Knight has to stand tall. And it'd be an interesting... If this was the main event, I think Seth Rollins would be the one that wins. Because I think... they want to show the wares that we talked about, and WWE is Seth Rollins right now. But because this is not the main event, and we have a bigger credits scene to show, like a bigger tableau potentially around the corner, I think LA Knight could get this one.
All right. Well, let's talk about that big headliner, man. We got Goldberg versus Gunther, Goldberg's retirement match. The World Heavyweight Championship is on the line. I think for us, I feel like the most interesting talking point is, will this be over or under 6 minutes? Folks, if you don't know, Sancho and I have a bet going on. I think it's going to be under 6 minutes. Sancho believes it's going to be over 6 minutes. And I think I've got the winning bet here, man. I think that this is going to be a quick, short match, tops 5 minutes. I don't think it goes up beyond that. Listen, I'm excited for this match. I'm just excited for the environment and the atmosphere that's going to be created when we have Goldberg in that ring making his entrance in what I just know is going to be a really raucous crowd, you know, in the middle of Goldberg country. I think they're going to love them some Goldberg. But no way Goldberg wins here, man. It has to be Gunther. Gunther's retaining. It truly is Goldberg's last match. What's the play? A cash in afterwards if Goldberg wins? I don't know. I'm going to go with Gunther. I just keep it nice, clean. Speaking of nice, clean, this will have a clean, definitive ending, which I think will be nice. Most retirement matches tend to anyway, you know, to leave nothing to the imagination. Hey, he just lost. You know why? You just don't got it anymore. Gunslinger gets his last moment with the crowd, big send-off. I think partly another one of the reasons why this is going to be a short match, Sancho, is I think they're going to spend like the last 10 minutes of the show with the Goldberg goodbye. It's not going to end. Match ends a minute right before the show ends. Like a lot of Saturday night's main event matches have ended alongside the show. I think it's going to end like 7, 8, 10 minutes before the show ends so that you can get the big Goldberg goodbye. What are you thinking?
I think we're going to get a lot of those, you know, in the locker room peaks that they did in Jake Paul Tyson. You're going to see Goldberg getting ready throughout the night. And it's going to keep building
up.
Is
he going to have assless chaps? Like Mike Tyson?
Well, no, he's going to have his son, his family. He's going to be like preparing, wrapping up, and then the knock on the door, the entrance is going to be the longest part of this whole thing, dude. And the security guards and build up all that props and circumstance. But I don't see Goldberg going out on his Shield that way, man. Goldberg's never been that guy. I never felt that vibe that Goldberg does the business. He does the job. I don't see that. And I know I'm probably frozen on your end, but no, I'm back. The whole point of I do feel that is I do see a cash in. I'm going to go for the home run here. I'm going for it. I'm pointing at it. I do see a cash in here because you talk about all those avenues that Seth Rollins could reach to SummerSlam. Why not expend it right here, right now? Seth Rollins loses to LA Knight. You think Seth Rollins is gone for the night. He's done. He's licking his wound somewhere. But all of a sudden, burn it down. He comes out and he puts down Goldberg with a curb stomp. And that's how Goldberg leaves. And that is his retirement match. And he loses to Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins is your new champion on NBC network television. The final logo. I told you he's Mr. WWE. Seth Rollins is your new champion. And then if you're a casual fan, you're like, oh my God, what just happened? That's what I'm predicting. Because then you got Seth Rollins. He could go into a match with LA Knight because LA Knight said, I just beat you. Why don't we do if Roman is gone, if Cody's going to be gone because of movies, why not do LA Knight and Seth Rollins at SummerSlam? Could be a possibility. You can
but
even
then why
do the
burn
CM
it point? A week, like a couple of weeks before a Saturday night's main event? That's I don't see that.
Because
happening.
if there's shenanigans, then it's not a clean victory. And then both could have.
I get it. Like, it's logical. It makes sense. And yeah. You know what? If we were recording this like 4 months ago, I'd say nothing canon happens at Saturday night's main event. But the last one changed that. The last one absolutely changed the narrative of that. So big things absolutely can happen at Saturday night's main events, returns, big swerves, whatever it might be, big storyline and narratives that move things forward. I absolutely see them at Saturday night's main event. I just think that I don't think you shot for the stars. I think you shot nebula, brother. I think that's way too out in space.
If they're going to counter program AEW and All In that Saturday night, that's the way to end it.
I will not ridicule you. I don't hate it. Like, okay, all right. Because you're right, right? Like, if you want to be the it thing of conversations happening online with wrestling fans, then you need to do something, right? And a Seth Rollins cash it after a Goldberg win. God damn, bro. Like that would definitely be the conversation piece for the entire weekend at that point. But folks, thank you so much for watching this bonus extra episode of the Wrestling is Cool podcast. You could have gotten this a little bit early over on the Patreon alongside the full 2-hour episode that we've already done of the podcast this week. Please go check it out. Go support us over there. Patreon.com/Santi's app. $5 gives you all of the content that we do there. We do not gatekeep the content from different tiers. $5, cheapest tier, gets you everything. But folks, you guys take care. Be wonderful people. And get out of here.
Ring the bell! That does it for this episode of Wrestling is Cool. Shout out to Santi and Sancho. Make sure you follow, like, and subscribe. My name is Mega Ran. I'm just here for the vibes. And never, ever forget that wrestling is...